May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. I think they enjoyed it. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El. Beth-El means house of God. Jacob was overwhelmed by the awareness that he had been in the place where God dwells. Clearly, his awareness focused on the stone pillow on which he had laid his head. Beth-El still exists. It's now called Beit El. It's a Jewish settlement in the West Bank territories, 15 miles north of Jerusalem. 6,000 people live there. It's much higher than Jerusalem. On a clear day, you can look west and see Tel Aviv, which is 40 miles away in the Mediterranean. And in the distance, on a very clear day, you can see the snow-capped peaks of Mount Hermon to the north, straddling the border between Lebanon and Syria. In Jacob's time, it was simply a bare, rocky hilltop. As he lay on the ground, there would have been nothing to obscure the sky. It was the perfect place for a vision of heaven. And that was what was granted to Jacob. He saw a ladder planted on earth and reaching to heaven with angels ascending and descending. The Lord was at the top of the ladder. The Lord identified himself as the God of Jacob's grandfather and father, Abraham and Isaac. And the Lord repeated to Jacob the promise he had made to them. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, for I will not leave thee. God is saying to Jacob, it is you that I have chosen. I will be faithful to you. I will not leave your side. I will bless you with land, riches, and descendants to enjoy those blessings for generations. Of course, the irony is that Jacob doesn't deserve any of this. He is the younger twin, not the heir. Esau is the heir, and Jacob has cheated him out of his inheritance and his father's blessing. Jacob has been guilty of trying to force the hand of fate. And now God is rewarding him by making a generous gift out of that which he had tried to steal. Nevertheless, at Beth-El, at that place, God revealed himself to Jacob, and Jacob knew it. at Bethel, God taught Jacob the lesson to which the Hebrew scriptures return repeatedly. The lesson of the absolute sovereignty of God. God will do what God will do. He will choose whom he will choose. He will bless whom he will bless. He will act when he chooses to act. He will show mercy when he chooses to show mercy. And we are not to ask the reason why. When Jacob took his stone pillow, stood it up, and poured oil on it, he consecrated a permanent reminder to himself and to others that at Bethel, God had blessed one who did not deserve to be blessed, simply because God chose to do that. If you go to the Roman city of Bath, stand to the west of Bath Abbey and look back at the facade. Many people believe Bath Abbey is the most perfect Gothic church in England. On the facade, you will see a medieval depiction of Jacob's ladder. On each side of the massive main door, starting at the ground and going up as high as you can see, rungs of ladders are carved in the stonework. If you look to the ladder on the left of the massive west door, there are figures climbing upwards. And if you look to the ladder to the right of the door, the figures are coming down. To show the downward motion, they are climbing down head first. That is a very precarious way to descend a ladder. Don't try it. It's reserved for angels. The ladders are reminders to all that the Abbey, this place, is where heaven and earth meet. The blessings of God are to be found inside this place. But as with Jacob, God is sovereign, and God will bless whom he will bless. A few days before Christmas 1950, four Scottish students, three men and a woman, drove from Glasgow to London. They went straight to Westminster Abbey. They were Scottish nationalists at a time shortly after the Second World War when that cause had very little support. They planned to commit a crime that would draw attention to their cause. They spent 2 days in the Abbey noting the movements of the watchmen. No one is quite sure how they did it, but after midnight mass on Christmas Eve, they broke into the Abbey through the door by Poet's Corner. They went straight to the chapel that contains the tomb of King Edward I, and in those days, King Edward's chair. It is a Gothic-styled wooden throne on which the British monarch sits when they are crowned. Edward commissioned the chair in 1296 to hold a highly symbolic spoil of war, the Stone of Scone, which he had taken during the Scottish Wars of Independence from Scone Abbey, which is near Perth. Do you remember Braveheart, Mel Gibson? Same war. And Edward is Longshanks. The Stone of Scone is a large, flat rock. For nearly 800 years, the kings of Scotland had been crowned sitting on it. So when Edward took it, he was taking a prized symbol of Scottish nationhood. The four Scottish students were determined to return the Stone of Scone to Scotland. It weighs over 300 pounds. They planned to remove it from the shelf under the seat on the throne where it's kept, put it on an overcoat, and then slide it across the floor. Unfortunately, it slipped out of their hands and broke in two. One piece was smaller than the other. The girl took it, and the boys took the larger piece. The girl managed to get her piece to Glasgow. The boys took their larger piece to a field in Kent, where they hid it for a while before they took it also to Glasgow. When the theft was discovered on Christmas morning, the police closed the border between England and Scotland, and it remained closed for 5 days. It was the first time that border had been closed in 400 years. The location of the stone was kept secret while a stonemason repaired it. And then On April the 11th, 1951, the police received an anonymous tip that they would find something of interest in the ruins of Arbroath Abbey, significant for the Declaration of Arbroath made in 1320, which asserted Scottish nationhood. The abbey was searched, and on the site of the high altar, they found the Stone of Scone. It was returned to Westminster Abbey in 1952, and when Elizabeth was crowned in 1953, it was back in King Edward's chair. In 1996, the Conservative government, trying to appease the now much more powerful Scottish nationalists, voted to return the stone to Scotland on condition that it be brought to London for future coronations. And it is now on display in Edinburgh Castle's Crown Room beside the Crown Jewels of Scotland. So what does this have to do with Jacob? According to tradition, the Stone of Scone is Jacob's pillow, brought to Ireland by Spanish Jews 700 years before Christ was born. That's what the Irish believed when they used it for coronations. That is what the Scottish believed when they used it for coronations. Certainly that's what Edward I believed when he brought it to England. And for hundreds of years, that is what the British monarch has believed at the moment of their crowning. whether the stone of Scone is Jacob's pillar or not. What is far more important is what has been believed about it. The pillow was Jacob's consecrated reminder that once he had been in a place where heaven and earth had met, and undeserving though he was, God had promised to be with him and to bless him. The kings and queens who have been crowned on it have all of them been undeserving, even the best. But on the day of their coronation, they are in a place where they need God's presence. The prayers of all are that they will be blessed. I have no problem with the stone of Scone, Jacob's pillow, being back in Scotland. But I do hate that it's in a museum. It belongs in a place of worship, in God's house, Bethel. Each of us knows that there are places where we meet God. Places where we return time and time again because we find that there heaven and earth are very close. It may be a church. It may be this church. It may be a field. It may be a quiet seat in our living room at home. It may be in the face of a loved one or a friend. For many, it's in the face of one who needs our love and our kindness. All those places can be Bethel, the house of God. We go to those places to hear God's promise, the very same one he made to Jacob. I will be with you, and I will bless you. Amen.